Coming up on Smart Tech Today, Matthew Casanelli and I talk about Apple's new watch bands and the next version of iOS. There are lots of things included, including contact tracing API and a change to the way that FaceTime group video works, finally. Plus, Headspace goes free for the unemployed and furloughed. Logitech has some new stuff out, and so much more, including a conversation about Global Accessibility Awareness Day. Stay tuned. We've got a lot to cover on Smart Tech Today. Smart Tech Today is brought to you from LastPass Studios. You're focused on security, but are your employees? Well, LastPass can ensure that they are by making access and authentication seamless, whether they're working in the office or remote. Visit lastpass.com/twit to learn more.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This episode of Smart Tech Today is brought to you by Mint Mobile. They provide the same premium network coverage you're used to, but at a fraction of the cost because everything is online. Mint Mobile makes it easy to cut your wireless bill down to just $15 a month with their 3-month introductory plan, and get the plan shipped to your door for free at mintmobile.com/STT. And by ExpressVPN. Now that a lot of you are working from home, it's even more important to choose a VPN you trust to protect you from online threats. For 3 extra months free with a 1-year package, go to expressvpn.com/STT. Welcome back to Smart Tech Today, where we explain the exciting, the dynamic, and, well, the sometimes confusing subject that is the Internet of Things. I am Micah Sargent.
And I am Matthew Casanelli. Hello.
Hi. How are you?
Doing pretty good. How about you?
I am doing peachy keen, because I've had bean chips and they make me happy. So I'm having an okay day. You know, the sun is still shining and
there's rainbows galore, including and life on my carries Apple Watch on. Face.
Oh, nice. I like it. So this is because, as Apple does every year, they have for the past few years, it has released a Pride Apple Watch band and paired it with an Apple Watch face. And whenever the first Pride band was released, it originally was, you know, you'd buy the band. I think it was a $50 band, and that kind of was the extent of it. You had the band and it looked cool if you thought, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But shortly after the launch of that first one, then Apple added a little note that said a portion of the proceeds will go to benefit LGBTQ+ advocacy groups. And ever since that first version, they have done that, that same portion of the proceeds going to benefit deal. And so, again, this year, that is exactly what we have. Same kind of situation there. So I ordered the Nike Plus one. I think it's really cool looking Apple Watch band. So the Nike Plus ones have the holes in them. They're like vented, and each of the little holes has a color in it. And I think it's really classy. I don't know about you, but I kind of thought that the other one, the fluorelastomer one, I joke as if I don't know how to pronounce that word, but the rubberized band, it kind of, and I mentioned this before the show, but it kind of reminds me of someone giving a child, you know, we're all teaching our kids at home these days. So mom or dad or cousin hands over some Play-Doh in Roy G. Biv colors, and then the child puts it into their little Play-Doh machine and extrudes an Apple Watch band. It's kind of uneven and weird. And there's even a theory that the yields for this Apple Watch band were low, and that Apple just decided, you know what, we're going to call them handcrafted so that each one is unique. And that way we can say, you know, these are A-okay. I don't know if I fall into that camp of believing that it's not an intentional thing, but the weird, wavy, unique look does not work for me personally. What about you? Did you order one?
Not one of these ones. I actually, I haven't been wearing the, I've been wearing the Sport Loops lately, and the, I just like the flexibility of that. Those are like infinitely adjustable, and maybe during quarantine time, not feeling the effects of your watch not fitting as well or something like that. It was good for my mental health. So I'm glad I haven't been wearing it. The flexibility of putting it on every time is nice. That's actually one thing. Whenever I lose weight, I always notice that before I would have to tighten my Apple Watch or something like that. But yeah, I been wearing the watch faces though. I really like them. Like I have the one that's just the 12-hour clock, and it's just a nice little rainbow around it. That's kind of what I noticed with these designs was they, like that Nike one is just like, I mean, the Sport Loop one or the Sport Band one is like very intense colors, and this one's a little more subtle, so you can still kind of represent and donate, and maybe it's not as out there for people who may not want that or something like that. I mean, especially they even just call it like rainbow and things like that. It's just a nice color to have on your watch, so that is nice.
So now, you know, it's not just the watch band itself, right? It's also, the watch faces, and are those going to be coming soon? Cause I know you got an early sneak peek, so to speak, with beta software, but are we going to see an update soon?
They just launched the GM Golden Master update, which is the one usually just like the day or two before, the iOS update. So in that you'll get the Pride watch faces. And then also for just like iOS itself, they have a bunch of new features. This has actually been really nice because one of the main things is that if you're wearing a mask, it will immediately open into Face ID. So it won't let, or it'll skip Face ID and open to your password. So,
That's nice.
Cause you're always like, dang it. It like fails four times in a row and then you enter your password or something. So it's like, if it can tell that it's you, but obstructed, it will just go right.
That makes me so happy. Yeah. Cause that's so annoying when you're in a store. In fact, I had taken to, when I would make a list of things that I needed from the grocery store, if I didn't just write it out, I would take down my list in notes and then screenshot it and then make it my lock screen wallpaper.
Yeah. That's
but God, shouldn't need to do all of that. So this make it a little bit easier, although you're all using pseudo random, long, hard to guess passwords, right?
Yeah, so exactly.
Still might take you a while. Anyway, that's cool.
But they also are adding the ability to disable the like faces floating around during group FaceTime, which is nice. So that's always like the major complaint, especially once you get a bunch of family going, is it's like somebody floats to the top really quickly and back.
I hate that feature.
Yeah.
It never made sense to me. I don't know. I never liked that feature, so I'm glad that it's going to be adjusted. And then, of course, the API for exposure notifications will be added to the update. So, again, that's only going to show up if you have an app that does exposure notification stuff that makes use of the API, essentially. Unless and until that happens. Like,
Go ahead.
Sorry. Oh, I was just going to say, less than until that happens, you will see a setting in your privacy settings for the exposure notification API. But upon tapping it, it will say, hey, there's no app on your phone that does exposure notification stuff. So, you know, there's nothing to show you.
Yeah, but it does feel like we'll probably see a bunch of news about that this week. Like, it seems like it's ready to roll out. And then I assume we're going to, like, part of it is that it's only like public health authorities can make those apps. And so once those come out, this might be like the start of actual contact tracing. And I do like the name exposure notification a lot better. It's a lot less creepy. It's like just, it's about the health part and getting notified, not like literally tracing through your contacts or something like that. So
that
terminology is a little bit scary. But I assume we'll see some, I mean, we'll have to see, and we can report back next week as well. But I bet we'll see some new stuff this week, which is encouraging, because that seems like one of the major things that we need to be doing is having wide contact tracing. So hopefully this is like the week that starts. That would be cool.
That'd be very cool. I don't want
to be too optimistic, but I can try at least.
Yeah. This is something to be optimistic about. I think this is really cool. There are several different meditation services, apps, and you know, things in between. But Headspace is doing something, I think, very nifty. And you spotted this article.
Yeah, and they're allowing people... I was grabbing the URL, but they're allowing people who have lost their jobs or are furloughed to sign up for free Headspace, basically. And I was interested because, like, I technically lost some work, but I'm not in one of those categories. And so I was trying to sign up, and it's pretty intense. It's like you have to for sure not be lying kind of thing. And it is like a good, you just can't like easily get it, or I don't know. I have no idea if they're going to check it or something like that over time, but, they're like, you have to really be like in there needing it. But it's pretty nice. I mean, I've done the Headspace free trials and stuff. I don't think I ever actually got past the free stuff, but when I did it, I did enjoy it. So I just never built the habit. But it seems nice. Like, mental health is especially necessary. And in times like this, just like getting focused and processing your emotions properly is really important. So hopefully people can take advantage of that.
Yeah, I think this is incredible. In fact, I sent this link to my sister who was furloughed. And yeah, a year's long subscription of Headspace for those unemployed and furloughed is quite awesome. And I know that Headspace also offers, I think it's healthcare providers and educators free subscriptions to Headspace. And again, there are some other meditation apps and services out there that have been doing or are doing the same thing. This is great. And if, you know, you fall into one of those categories, be sure to check it out, because, you know, I was just talking with my partner the other day. They had done a guided meditation as part of group communication. And, you know, I think some people at times are skeptical, I guess, of the health benefits. But, you know, it is not some sort of otherworldly magic wand waving stuff. It's
I always hear like California hippy dippy. Like,
yeah, exactly. But it's not California hippy dippy anymore.
We are both from California or in California right now. So.
Right. But frankly, it's, you know, this is research backed practice that can actually have a positive effect on your mental health overall.
I love the dude's accent. Like, it was just pleasant, and it's just like, breathe deeply and calm. And like, I noticed that I don't know why I actually gave it. I mean, it's like, sometimes it's hard to stack a ton of things in your morning routine or something like that. But it is like always peaceful afterwards. It's like, like, now I'm ready to like float about the day. So
exactly. Well, in smart home gadget news, up first, Logitech has a new camera out. This is exciting to me because Logitech's cameras, the Logitech Circle camera, for example, is and has been the HomeKit Secure video camera that I've recommended, because I've had that camera for a very, very long time, and it is always the steadfast and true smart camera in my home. Other cameras will go out or disconnect from Wi-Fi or have trouble connecting or this or that or the other. I've never had a problem with my Logitech Circle camera, and Logitech has done a good job of making its different cameras modular so that you can use them in different mounts. So now the Circle View camera is the latest offering from the company, and the company sort of putting it forth as a privacy focused camera. And that is because of the HomeKit Secure Video technology, and then an actual physical button that you can press to say, no, I want you to turn off both audio and video.
I feel like almost like a switch to me is so much more like literal that it's like, no, this is now off. That it is interesting that like the on and off button, I can, my first thought was just that like my girlfriend wouldn't trust it still or something like that. It's like, for whatever reason, the physicality of it does matter to people, but this seems pretty solid. It's like $160 for, and it's kind of indoor, outdoor, so you can pick whichever one. And it also comes in black, which is like, it sounds funny, but also it's like, when you put it around your house, you don't want some white thing sticking out necessarily, depending on your setup. So
yeah, could be white, could be black, one of the two, you know, to have it in black is an option. This again, I love what Logitech provides in terms of their, or its different cameras. And so any sort of upgrade to the technology and sort of rendition number two of what it has to offer is fantastic. So yeah. Logitech, that circle is, you.
That's good for me to know, because I am curious of, I'm interested in getting a home security camera system soon. I feel like I might actually wait now that I keep seeing more and more coming out, but
yeah, right.
Knowing that you like the old ones is good. Oh yeah. They have the interesting feature, it's tilt to hide. So it has a really variable angle on the mount. And so you can literally just point it down really easily. If you don't trust it being turned off, it's like pointed at the wall or something like that. So I thought that was clever.
Yeah. Stop looking at me.
Yeah.
Just flick that bad boy down.
I guess that helps with the button part. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Then you can easily access the button as well. But it, you know, very clearly that red light is there to say, yeah, hey, I'm on.
That's right.
And I'm, you know, currently watching, looking. I'm watching you. I think it's good. I think it's good. Alrighty, let's see. Up next, Eero. This is another kind of interesting story given its placement. So Eero, of course, is the routing system, the Wi-Fi router system. They've been a sponsor of the network before. I have, even before they were a sponsor of Twit, I've had an Eero Pro and two Eero beacons in my home, and I've taken them with me everywhere I go, because those things are steadfast and true, keep my Wi-Fi, you know, at its top speeds all around the house. But the company was acquired by Amazon not too terribly long ago, and you know, when a company is acquired by a big company that has Even companies that don't have some interesting, and I say interesting with a sort of tinge of infamous, interesting.
One eyebrow raised.
Yeah, one eyebrow raised, interesting qualities to it. Even with companies that don't, people still usually come forth and say, but what are they going to do? And so there was that concern with Eero.
I mean, that's like iffy. Like, dear God, everybody's freaking out about that. Facebook just bought Giphy, and people are instantly very concerned about them. Did you not know that?
No, I didn't know that. Oh. When did that happen today?
Gotta watch This Week in Tech Sunday evening.
Oh, wow. Now I'm embarrassed. Leo, you don't watch this show, right? golly. Really?
You're going to get a call right during that. Exactly. It's pretty intense. But I mean, I think it's like the instant reaction is that for that, at least people are like, they're going to use the ad. They're going to be like ad tracking giant. Instead of a single pixel, now it's a 3 megabyte GIF on your page. But I think I even saw other reactions from Facebook being like, we just bought them because they have a good community and we want them to like stay around, because they probably are like suffering too right now, sort of thing. So I don't know.
Oh, that's yeah. It would be heartbreaking if Jiffy went away. Yeah, that's a good point. Jiffy. Yeah, I'm listening. No,
we still have peanut butter. What are you talking about, Micah?
You say it how you say it. I say it how I say it. And we both know what each other means. So that's all that matters. I'm not going to fight with Eero, you, darn it. Eero, yeah, let's get back on the topic before we... ding, ding. Did I just hear the boxing bell? No, I kid. So Eero, and it's purchased by Amazon, and now it's in the Apple Store, which is you know, normally would be a little bit of a surprise, a little bit of a shock, because Apple and Amazon have notoriously had some boxing bells of their own. But, and there's a certain, you know, I don't want to sound like a, Apple fanboy, as it were. But there genuinely is a certain level of endorsement that comes from a product being featured in the physical Apple stores. And so the fact that, or even in the online store, if it's featured in the physical store, or the online store, that there is an endorsement there that says, hey, this is a product that we believe will work well with your Apple devices. And, you know, essentially we're backing in that way. And that, of course, includes the fact that Eero was, I believe, the first router to offer the HomeKit integration that lets you control your security.
That's pretty much what I was thinking, is like, because they're actually staying committed to the security side of things, like Apple clearly working with them through that also can tell that they're like not immediately doing anything creepy. I don't know. I always feel weird saying that because it implies that they are or something like that. But
right.
That at least the article that I was linking, David Sparks was basically saying like, this sort of is like a sign that Amazon isn't messing with Eero too much because they're getting into the Apple store. And also probably a sign that Apple is not going to be coming out with like a router like this, in at least in the short term, because they generally stock those products if they're not going to make them themselves.
Precisely.
So like they used to do networking stuff and people have been like wondering for a couple of years. And it's like, now that Eero is actually in the Apple store, probably not going to happen anytime soon.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah, but it's still like we both use. I have an Eero also, and it's great. So
yeah,
I have
yeah.
no problem with people using this. It seems there like was a go to system.
Yeah, there was a time when my AirPort, you know, Extreme was my baby, and I loved it, and you know, wanted everyone to have one, and enjoyed the you know, very few issues that I had getting connected, but. Now I have the Eero system and I have very few issues getting connected using it. So, yeah. Now for you UK folks who tune into the show, you may be excited to hear that a popular smart home brand, Hive, is coming to, or has now come to HomeKit. They've added HomeKit support.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. I mean, I don't actually know much about this brand, but I did just kind of like they're like, hey, it's a major brand being promoted a lot. So I am curious if any of our listeners have this type of stuff. But they're saying that active heating, lights and plugs work. Although, like, I think it's said if your heating is connected to hot water, it will not work. So I wasn't sure if that was referring to like generally. I think there's in Europe, there's like different heating systems where your water gets heated as it comes to you versus like in a heater. And so that might just like have different requirements, or HomeKit's maybe not set up for that yet, but it is cool. Like they have, I was especially impressed by the hardware design. It's just like a nice little screen with a dial on it and little buttons. It almost feels like Apple's in the Apple world stuff is so flat all the time that it's like, oh, I actually love little dials on things like that.
Yeah. It's that's true. It's a different look and feel than we are used to, for sure. I'm glad that, you know, anytime we add more to the list of HomeKit enabled products is always a win in my book. Cause again, that happens to be the system that we use. And it is one of the only frameworks that is out there for interfacing with all of these tools. All right,
I'm curious if we will see like a news slide at WWDC of tons more brands, because I think that's still something that surprises me, that like when we first started the show, it was like, man, there's not really that much HomeKit stuff. And we've talked about it almost every week because they've just been like one brand after another is coming out with a camera or something like that. So it is interesting. It's actually been a decent year for HomeKit, which I don't think that's been true for a while. So
yeah, since the launch, frankly. Let's take a quick break before we come back with some more news. I want to tell you about Mint Mobile, who are bringing you this episode of Smart Tech Today. Look, I got my first cell phone with one of the big wireless providers years ago, but let's be real, no one likes those high monthly bills. Luckily, we discovered there's another option that could provide the same premium service that I am used to, you know, with those big old carriers, but at a fraction of the cost. And it's the Fox. Yes, that's right. It's Mint Mobile. By switching to Mint Mobile, you can cut your wireless bill down to just $15 a month and save hundreds of dollars. I don't know about you, but there's a huge difference between $15 and the $200 that I probably spend a month on my phone bill. $15, that's ridiculous pricing. It's incredible pricing. It can save hundreds of dollars. For anyone out there who's looking to save without sacrificing your service, you gotta switch to Mint Mobile. It's a no-brainer. Mint Mobile offers premium wireless for just $15 a month by going online only and eliminating the traditional costs of retail. Mint Mobile passes those savings on to you. That's how they do it. If you're going, how in the world can you possibly save this much money? Well, it's online only. That's how you save that much money. Every plan comes with unlimited nationwide talk and text, plus super fast 4G LTE service. And you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and keep your same phone number along with all of your existing contacts. No worries there. And if you switch now to Mint Mobile and get premium wireless for $15 a month, you are going to love it. And if you're not 100% satisfied, Mint Mobile has you covered with its 7-day money-back guarantee. I've talked before about how I could take that Mint Mobile SIM, pop it into my iPad, and sometimes it's connected even when my big mobile carrier has trouble connecting. It's fast, it's so much less expensive, and it works just as well, if not better in some cases, as those traditional wireless options. So, to get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month with the 3-month introductory plan and get the plan shipped to your door for free, you just go to mintmobile.com/STT. That's mintmobile.com/STT to cut your wireless bill to $15 a month. Go to mintmobile.com/STT. Thank you so much to Mint Mobile for sponsoring this week's episode of Smart Tech Today. We do appreciate you and that adorable little fox. All righty, the Oculus Quest, it's turning 1 year old. And with it comes some new hand tracking updates. I don't know why it's a song, but it is. So Oculus Quest is the sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? The more portable. Yeah, the standalone portable virtual reality headset. And people generally seem to really enjoy this headset. And now it's going to improve upon the hand tracking. What is coming with this update?
Yeah, they announced, they kind of demoed some of their hand tracking technology in October, but now they're basically rolling it out in a couple weeks here or next week. Who knows when time actually is anymore. But like it right now, you have to use controllers otherwise, and you'll just be able to use your own hands and do VR stuff there. So it looks really cool.
Wow. Like
last week they were on sale and I sent you a message. I was like, if anyone at Twit is getting this, now's the chance. But neither you or I unfortunately chose to, but I would love to try this sometime because it looks very cool. Like I think Oculus Quest is like the big one that people want to get, it seems like, and has solid games for it. And I mean, not even just solid games, like really good games. Like Beat Saber looks, I see people who have like sweat towels in like a workout room for Beat Saber stuff because it's so intense when you're playing. For anyone who doesn't know, it's you're basically like swinging lightsabers along like Guitar Hero style, so like to the beat, but it's a very physical game. I should find the link to this. There's a video going around of a dad, I think he's wearing an Oculus Quest, like kind of walk the plank VR thing where you walk out over the edge of a building and it's supposed to like give you a huge reaction. Like you're freaking out because it looks like you're going to fall. And he literally jumps off of it into his television set. Like he's going to jump in the game and he just smashes it in the TV and destroys it. It's like,
no.
Oh my God. You have to watch it like 30 times because he just completely divorces himself from reality of like where he is. And he's like, I can fly now. Like, it's like, no, you're still in your living room, dude.
Oh God, I've got to see this. It's a
very intense experience. And
that's,
it's like,
wow.
I've seen a ton of stuff about VR and AR things. I did start following a ton of people, so that might be Twitter just showing it to me more often. But there's a lot of cool stuff. I feel like it is kind of getting towards the point where it might actually be the thing that people do, especially with quarantine, is kind of like kick up a notch. So it'll be interesting to see. But at least right now, it's still sold out. So you can't get the hand tracking yet, so we'll someday soon. You said Leo has one, so we'll have to see.
Yeah,
get a funny video of him.
Hopefully not smashing his television.
Off. Yeah, exactly.
But that I can remember whenever they were talking about the hand tracking stuff, and on its own, it seemed cool, but I didn't quite get the brilliance of the hand tracking updates. So
yeah,
right now, to get a person into VR, you first convince them that they should strap this device to their face that takes them completely outside of the world that they are already in. That is already a big thing, a big hurdle.
Yeah.
That you have to, you know, that you have to jump.
You have to spend $500 on one of these first.
Yes. That's the first hurdle. Yes. So let me be clear. This is a situation where, you know, Leo is trying to introduce VR to a friend, or I'm trying to introduce VR to a family member. So I've got to convince my family member that they should strap this thing to their forehead and that they're going to be okay as they can't see anything that's happening in the real world. And then on top of that, I tell them, you have to hold these awkward controllers in your hand and push and move these specific buttons, and then you can interact with, you know, your environment. And then the alternative of that is, if I don't do the controllers, then they don't have their hands in real space. And there's something about going into virtual reality and taking your hands and going like this and not being able to see them.
Yeah, your brain is does. Nope.
Yeah, your brain does not like it. It is uncomfortable and it makes people a little put off by it. So this is something that introduces a bit of a cushion as folks are sort of jumping off of the virtual space. What is it? Skydiving, if you will. They're trying it for the first time. You know, this is, it's a big move. And
don't show them that video before all this, because
yeah, exactly.
I keep just thinking bad.
Yes. So I love this, that it makes the virtual reality a little bit more akin to reality in a way that will make people feel more comfortable.
Yeah. And you can just like grab something with your hand and drop it in a more natural way that just doesn't. Yeah. You're like moving little joysticks in the, like, they're just very futuristic looking controllers too. They have like little circular things around them, but it is that could be like a huge stepping point. And there's other things too, like even just like I saw other quick articles of like the cable that you need to connect it to your computer to record it if you want is like now universal. And there's a couple new platforms that are out there where you can like have meetings in virtual reality with people. So it is, I see, since I follow so many VR people, they're like, why hasn't like VR seen its big jump yet? And it's like, well, you need to be able to buy the product first. And like,
yeah,
like you're saying, like for the average person who's never touched a controller or something like that, now they don't even have to, which is great.
Very cool. Now, speaking of virtual reality, Apple just purchased a San Francisco-based virtual reality firm called Next VR. And Trusted Reviews is, putting together a bit of a prediction of the possible things that could be done with the purchase of this virtual reality system. What's interesting is that Next VR has some patents that Apple may be interested in, much less rather than the team, perhaps. So, what are some possibilities other than, you know, just adding to Apple's chops when it comes to AR and VR?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard to tell because Apple acquires companies from time to time and they do not come with future plans. Actually, that's what is always so weird about Workflow is that they actually confirmed it. But it's like a 360 camera thing that you put in live events. So in many ways, it could be like a content or a concert and like live sports, if there are any experience. But both like the patents of just like maybe Apple's already doing this and they just need to be able to now and they just paid the people for it. But I assume they're acquiring the talent too, because if they're moving, there's a lots of rumors of the VR glasses type things. And even in AR still, you could use, like, especially nowadays, if you can't go to a concert, like putting one of those in somebody's like studio or something, and you could look around or use your phone or whatever and check in VR could be pretty neat. So I am curious, like, I have no idea, like, and nobody ever knows what Apple is doing in the future, but it would be cool if they accelerated some of their VR plans because people are stuck inside and want to experience this stuff. And like, it's such an immersive experience to actually be in one of those things. So if they do it right, and then Apple can unleash whatever else they're working on, it could be some cool stuff. That's why it's like, it is an exciting time. Games too, but like, there's a lot of stuff that maybe is now going to be more of a focus going forward.
For sure. Let's see. Oh, it's time for some follow-up. So we had talked last week about how Wink, the maker of the device that lets you, it's a hub that lets you connect to multiple smart home products, multiple smart home devices, be they Zigbee, Z-Wave, Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, etc. This device kind of served as the communication jumping off point. And Wink decided that it needed to switch to a subscription model from a model wherein the company made its money off of hardware purchases and did not pay for the service. So they said, okay, well, we need to start charging you for the service now. And if you don't pay, then you're not going to be able to use the Wink Hub anymore. Laughable. And then they didn't give people very much time to get ready for this change in the way that it's handling it. Well, folks, Wink sent me an email. I think I tweeted it just with LOL and tagged you in it, Matthew, saying, look, we hear you. We hear your cries. We hear, you know, your concerns. And so we're going to go ahead and delay the rollout of this new subscription plan. We're going to delay it by a week. So you have a week longer to get your Wink subscription logged in and loaded before, so this is literally in 2 days, at which point if you do not subscribe, then you will not be able to use the Wink Hub anymore. It's $4.99 a month. And like I said before, in a world where it started with a $4.99 a month subscription, I think lots of people would happily pay that $4.99 a month subscription for what Wink does provide. But it's the fact that Wink offered this for free and now wants to charge for it that I see a lot of people leaving the Wink platform.
Yeah. We'll see. It'll be interesting. I wonder what we'll follow up with next week. It's like, oh, Wink is shut down because nobody signed up for it or something like that. They're not doing so hot there, but if you are listening to this on Tuesday or Wednesday, you can still do it. But after that, no more. So good luck if you have Wink stuff, I suppose.
Let's go ahead and take a quick break before we branch into our project for this week. Sure. You've got a lot that you want to share there. But I do want to tell you folks about ExpressVPN, who are bringing you this episode of Smart Tech Today. Look, being stuck at home these days, you probably aren't thinking much about internet privacy on your own home network. But you absolutely should be, because you may think that firing up incognito mode on your browser is all you need to do for no one to see what you're doing, right? No, that is incorrect. Even in incognito mode, your online activity can still be traced. Even if you clear your browsing history, your internet service provider can still see every single website you've ever visited. And that is why, even from the comfort of my own home and the perceived safety and security of my own home, I still never go online without using ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN makes sure your ISP can't see what sites you visited. Instead, your internet connection is rerouted through ExpressVPN's secure servers. Each ExpressVPN server has an IP address that's shared among thousands of users. So that means everything you do is anonymized and it cannot be traced back to you. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your data with best-in-class encryption, so your information is always protected. You can use the internet with confidence from your computer, your tablet, or your smartphone. ExpressVPN has you covered on every device. You simply tap one button and boom, you're protected. ExpressVPN is the fastest and most trusted VPN on the market. In fact, it's rated number one by CNET, by Wired, by The Verge, and countless more. ExpressVPN's trusted server technology is why I use ExpressVPN. It is fantastic, and it is unique. You can protect your online activity today with a VPN that I trust to secure my privacy. Just visit expressvpn.com/STT, and you can get an extra 3 months free on a one-year package. That's expressvpn.com/STT. Once more, expressvpn.com/STT to learn more. Thanks so much to ExpressVPN for sponsoring this week's episode of Smart Tech Today and for keeping my internet browsing secure. All righty, Apple is celebrating Global Accessibility Awareness Day. That's this Thursday as the crow flies, with a host of apps and features that are going to be coming soon. And you wanted to talk a little bit about some of your shortcuts, as well as Global Accessibility Awareness Day and everything in between. So take it away, Matthew.
Yeah, it's always great. Thursday, May 21st is Global Accessibility Awareness Day, which is GLAAD, if you see that on Twitter, or GAD, sorry. Wait, which one is it actually? Now I'm second-guessing myself. GAD. There it is. But Apple always makes a big deal about it because it is a big deal, and that's fantastic. They, in general, have very good resources and have gotten even better this year updating their website where you can learn about what they do, because I think that's one of the biggest things is people just have no idea that their phones do this type of thing until you need it, and then you're very thankful that it actually does this type of thing, because once it's like, it's a little too late otherwise. But I have a series of shortcuts because that was one of the things when Workflow was acquired and turned into shortcuts, Apple like mentioned in their press release confirming it that accessibility was a major part of it, because especially like not only for regular people doing things in one tap is helpful, but when you have limited mobility or stuff like that, having a shortcut take multiple steps for you instead of you having to tap around a lot is a major time saver, because even though technologies like VoiceOver is one of the major accessibility things that they have out there, that's great. But it is still reading off every single part of the screen as you go past it, and it enables you to do it, but it's still not as fast as just like it going automatically through a shortcut. But even, I don't remember if it was iOS 13 or one of the point releases, but they added specific accessibility shortcuts in the shortcuts app, and most of them they toggle a lot of the features that you have. So things like voice control you can turn on and off with shortcuts. Here, actually, I have a list of shortcuts. Let me pull it up real quick. I have 13 that I put together. And actually the first one I did get through Federico Vicici of Mac Stories has written a piece about all of the ways you can deep link into the settings app and jump into specific pages. And so I made one that's just open accessibility settings, which is really nice. Also real quick, I guess, do you guys, I can show this stuff on my iPad real quick.
Yeah.
Let me, okay. I can put, okay, there we go. So for anyone who is listening along, run my little shortcut, which I'll put in the show notes too, of show me this clip, and it should open into the YouTube video. But I have open accessibility settings, which opens just into the root page in the accessibility app or in the settings app for accessibility, which is nice. Just takes you right there. So you can, if anybody is curious, you can just run this shortcut and go in and explore, which is pretty cool. They have all of the different features in there, but most of the stuff you find on this page can still be triggered by a shortcut. We also have, I have a bunch for the different brightness levels that you can set, because you might not think about it, but how bright your screen is can be an accessibility thing if you have sensitivity in your eyes. And one of the features is white point. So there's an accessibility setting that if you, some of these are actually like, the terms are slightly confusing because you are, you're like turning it on, but it reduces the thing. So to turn it off brings it back up. But like I have a brightness shortcut that can just do, I set up a bunch of different options and like very low will turn the brightness to 0%, but then also turn the white point on, which it's reduced white point. So and then it's like extremely dark. I'll run it real quick. It's like you can basically not, it looks like it's black, but the screen's actually still on. So it's pretty much as dark as
I should have done this one. How do you undo?
There we go. Oh, there's the menu. Yeah. So, but then it's like very, very bright is like on screen. It's pretty much blown out entirely and you can't see it. So I think I have average is the good one. But that's a great way for, especially like, yeah, like, I mean, maybe the super dark one, I don't know who actually could need that, but if it's the middle of the night, it could make a difference. They added in the dark mode options, so you can just switch quickly between light mode and dark mode. It can't actually detect what you currently have, so in theory, it should just switch it, but I have a little prompt that lets you switch it back and forth, which is nice.
And you can also use the button in control panel.
Yeah, that's true too. I have this, you can put it in like your shortcuts widget, or you could make one that just always switches to the other and put it on your home screen. That's like a pretty nice benefit there. There's options to toggle the reduce motion and reduce transparency stuff. So anytime you like swipe close an app and stuff like that, it has a lot of motion that can make some people sick. So the shortcut can just turn those on and off, especially if you just want to try it for a while. Like that's what's cool about the shortcuts is you don't have to like always set it this way and then dig back into the settings to change it. Mm-hmm. But this one's my favorite. It's called Embiggen. I just chose that name, but it sets all of the text size and then to maximum and then turns off the zooms and things like that and reduce motion and transparency and contrast. So when I run the shortcut, if I choose easier,
I want this.
Yes, this is literally like, not to be ageist, but like grandma mode where it makes everything giant all of a sudden. It's actually really good for tutorials because it's ginormous all of a sudden. My God. It's hilarious.
I love it.
But then, of course,
you can easily shut it all off.
Yeah,
in
you can
one
just switch
move.
It back. Yeah, which I had to do because I was like, I did the same thing with the brightness. You turn it up all the way and then you're like, oh, my God. Toggle voice control
right now.
We'll just turn this on and off. So when you run voice control in the top right corner of your iPad, there's a little microphone that shows up. And if it can detect your face using, I mean, that's also a setting that you can turn on and off, but then you can control your shortcut or anything on the screen using your voice. Run shortcut. And it just turned itself off. So yeah, voice control is amazing. I feel like we should talk about that more or like I got to do a video because you can sit there and not even touch your iPad at all, which is fantastic.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah, sure.
Is there a way to add a shortcut without having to scroll all the way down to the bottom of the shortcut to tap add shortcut? Or do they do that so that you are required to see every step that the shortcut takes in theory? Is it the same as like scrolling to the bottom of terms of service?
Yeah. There's a whole, for anyone who hasn't actually played around with shortcuts, it's actually like a giant barrier right at the beginning. You have to allow untrusted shortcuts in the settings app and then shortcuts. And you also have had to run a shortcut first before you're allowed to. And then every time you import a shortcut from somebody like me, you have to go past all of the steps and then hit a giant red button that says add untrusted shortcut, which is like, it makes it seem like Apple's like, warning, there's a virus detected. Matthew Casanelli is giving you a thing. And it's like, no, like you could trust me at least. I don't know. I can't speak for everybody, but I'm never going to do anything like never share a shortcut that I didn't make myself even, or improve and check myself. But, that I think that's like, I kind of chalked it up to like, they lost the battle against the lawyers inside Apple. Cause it is shortcuts is pretty intense.
I had a tap, you know what I mean? I could just at least tap to scroll to the bottom of that.
In the shortcuts app. Yeah. I don't think you can, hit them. Here I can show it real again. If you hit my shortcuts, it will scroll to the bottom of this library. I thought that's what you meant, but
no. Yeah, I'm talking whenever it pops up to install a new one. And then I can remember, you know, Federico Vitici released a shortcut that was basically accessing all of the parts of the music library of Apple Music that you can't normally get to.
Oh yeah.
And it has so many steps. And so I'm just like, in order to get to the bottom and say add. And I thought, why can't they put that at the top? Yeah. And then I thought,
I wonder if voice control would let you do that. Like if there's some like scroll
to bottom of window or something.
Ooh, we should research that. Cause that's their accessibility can benefit you even if you don't have accessibility needs necessarily.
Yeah.
I'll run through the other ones real quick because these other ones don't have as many options, but there's options. You can toggle voice control, toggle voiceover, which is where it speaks everything. Speak screen is also similar where it can read off like an article that's on the screen. Although I do have another shortcut.
Terrible voice.
Yeah, that's more specific for it, but for accessibility needs, like speak screen also says other stuff. Switch control is where there are like Bluetooth switches that you can use instead of like a mouse or keyboard or anything like that. So for people who have mobility issues, they can press that and it will advance to the next thing and read off as you go. Guided access is not even necessarily accessibility, but it can be of where it just like limits you to the current app that you're in. So that's like hand your iPad to someone else or somebody who might accidentally close the screen and get confused or something like that. Then there's magnifier, which turns your camera screen into a big magnifier so you can read stuff off in the distance, which is super nice. I guess you guys can't see really, but you can zoom in a lot, which is just like anybody who needs glasses could benefit from that sometimes. Toggle LED flash can the LED on your camera can flash when you get notifications if you don't necessarily notice the vibrations. And then another good one is mono audio, where if you have hearing issues and you can't hear both sides of a stereo track, it can switch it just to one so you can hear pretty much everything. So yeah, I have there's a ton in there too. There's a couple more options that I didn't set up, like I think it does captions and things like that, but I'm not incredibly familiar with how of those work, so I wasn't sure in what use cases it would be most beneficial. But
if
anybody does know or is interested in that, I can definitely build some shortcuts there too.
Embed Springboard.
Oh, my other shortcut? Yeah, that's somebody on Reddit trying to do some sort of hack to like crash you back to the home screen when you're done with the shortcut, because that's one of the things is people don't like, especially like I'll show it again. this is a sneak peek for my upcoming YouTube video. I have every single one of my shortcuts or almost all of them added in home screen folders on my iPad. And I had like a whole second page of them too. And I've had to do this just to like manage what I'm working with. But I've been trying to like show people more of what to do and like getting ideas from Reddit. I think I slightly just lost my train of thought there. Why was I showing you that?
I'm distracted now too, because I want to know, what are those? Is it to change the audio output AirPods? Yeah.
I have a couple of custom icons from, Mac Stories actually creates them, and you can buy like the pack, but these, I have a shortcuts on the home screen that I call AirPods, Office, Living Room, and Sonos One, which is where I have the Office and Living Room. I have HomePods there, and it uses the set playback destination action to send audio there. So, like, I mean,
I need to have you consult. I need to hire you as a consultant.
I have tons of stuff here. Let's do it soon, because I've been streaming.
Yeah, that's
like,
we should
Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of this week also, if anybody's interested. But there's so much with it, and I've done a terrible job of sharing. But shortcuts for me, it's an accessibility tool, because I can get some of that stuff done, or even just like having to go into Control Center and change the playback and switch back and forth a bunch can get frustrating. And a lot of stuff with shortcuts you can do in one tap, which is a lot more like I'm trying to do literally everything that I can through shortcuts. So it's kind of a madhouse there, but.
Final question. What is that very beautiful icon in the bottom left corner of your dock?
Okay. Let me bring it back in. That is Launch Cuts. And that's like this.
Did they change their icon? I thought I had Launch
Cuts. It's a custom icon. Yeah, you can. Oh. That's one thing that I love about iOS lately is custom icons. But this has all of these shortcuts folders in there as well. I have it's like, if I can run a shortcut from somewhere, I want to make it as easy as possible, every single option. But then I also have, using my Airtable database, I have like the status of whether or not I'm ready to finish the shortcut yet, or how much I use it, and a bunch of different types, and then all of my folders. So I'm streaming with Adam on Friday, Adam Tao, who's the developer, because you can do some wild stuff with this. Like, I can update all of these folders in real time, like from an internet database that I have for it. So,
wow.
It's like, I'm.
This I'm is your app. This app person. Is.
Yeah. I mean, like, yeah. I worked on it, so it's my thing. But it's like, there's a ton there. And I am like, I'm really glad the accessibility stuff is there. I think they need to fix some more of it too. Like, I have. The voices thing has broken for me a lot. I have to constantly re-download Siri's actual voice in order for it to work in my shortcuts and things like that. And so I hope they do keep a good eye on this stuff, which is excellent. I also do want to recommend Stephen Aquino is a writer who covers this stuff, and he's recently been writing for Forbes and is in TechCrunch and iMore and things like that too. But he's probably going to have some awesome stories this week about accessibility stuff. So definitely go follow him.
Yes. Yeah. What a great follow. Yeah. Okay. Let me do my pick of the week, and then you do your pick of the week, and then we will say goodbye to everyone. So that, folks, is what you call a roadmap. And that is what you do whenever you give a talk. All right. So I am talking about a little product here.
Oh.
Called a Felix Gray. So Felix Gray is a glasses manufacturer that, wow, my God, that's blown out, that makes glasses for blocking blue light. So being that we're all working from home, chances are if you weren't already working in an environment that if you are working from home, I know some people are, you know, furloughed and things like that. But if you're working from home, you may be spending more time in front of a computer than you would normally, or maybe in front of an iPad or some device. And so your retinas are very likely getting blasted with blue light throughout the day. And as I talked about on the last episode of Smart Tech Today, the suprachiasmatic nuclei that sit at the back of your ocular nerves is a very sensitive very sensitive structures that are directly taking in blue light and using that as a means to determine whether it's time to go to bed, whether it's time to start the next stage of the circadian rhythm to pump out melatonin and things like that in your brain. And so If you are blasting your eyes with blue light throughout the day, you may find that you struggle to get sleep at night, or fall asleep fast, or fall asleep when you expect to, or any number of issues with sleep. And so given that, there are, of course, some electronic steps that you can take, like enabling, for example, on the Mac, there is Night Shift, and same for iOS. Android has its own version where it pulls out some of the blue and replaces that with an orange filter. But the problem is those LEDs are still, you know, are still behind this screen. And so there is still blue light that is, you know, making its way towards you. And so the next thing that you can do is filter out some of that blue light. And that is what Felix Gray glasses are designed to do. They start at $95. So they are a little on the pricier side, but as an investment in your ocular health and your sleep health, we all know how important sleep is. I can't stress it enough. Sleep is so ridiculously important. It is a worthwhile investment. I love these two because on top of filtering out blue light, you can get them with a subtle prescription. And it's just a reading prescription. Mm. So these actually, along with providing blue light filtering, they also have a just barely a magnification, I think plus 0.25 or something really light, I don't recall. And they helped with eliminating glare, with taking out blue light, and then also in my case for providing a tiny bit of magnification for reading text and things like that. So they are fantastic, and I do enjoy them. Nice. These are, yeah, Felix Gray, and I included a link. I think it's Rebling, to that specific model because that's what these are. Although they don't make this color anymore, this was a green, of course. Ooh, nice. My favorite color. Yeah, so yeah. These are green ones. Nice. Yeah, and I really like them, and they're super high quality and everything like that. Yeah, I don't know. No complaints. They're fantastic, and they filter out blue light, which I'm constantly kind of looking around at all my stuff going, ah, you're trying to keep me up. I know it. So, yeah, I dig them.
Nice. That's solid.
All right. What about you? What's your pick of the week?
Mine is a new app called Oh Bother, which is an excellent Winnie the Pooh reference, but it's an app that lets you basically share your status with people that you live with and let them know whether you're unbotherable or botherable. And it's pretty neat. It's like a simple way to be able to like tell somebody, hey, I like right now there's tons of stuff where it's like, when is your meeting? Like, do we have to share a calendar to be able to tell when you can't, when I need to be quiet or something like that. So you can set various status updates. Like I really like, even just when you're botherable, it's like, I'm just puttering around the house, I'm going outside, and then I'm down for a chat. And you can also select multiple options. So you can kind of just like casually communicate. It does seem best for somebody who's like roommates. But it also, and it's slightly like a first version of the app. So I do think that the developer could improve things over time, but I think it's still just like the concept itself is really neat. And I want to see them do more with it because it makes a lot of sense. Like, I think it was nice. I have a review coming out where I'm like, I appreciate the, it's sometimes just hard to be like, I'm really stressed out and I don't want to talk. And when you say that to someone, they're like, why are you mad at me? Like, and you don't want to talk to me sort of thing. So it seems like it's a nice digital way to communicate some of that stuff. And especially like, I mean, it's different that I live with my girlfriend, but like if you have a roommate and especially somebody who's not necessarily your friend, like having a like digital sort of passive way to communicate that stuff seems like a really good solution. It's like tech forward too, that I'm always down for that type of stuff. But you can like get notifications that they're free again. So like my girlfriend did like make a joke or two. She was like, oh, are you botherable right now? Which I thought was funny. So it seems like a cool concept.
And yeah. It's free. So I like this idea because there's there's a certain discomfort that can come from, which it's not a, it's a discomfort that I used to have more so than I do now, where boundary setting can be kind of difficult. If you, particularly if you were ever a yes man or a yes person, and a people pleaser, which I absolutely was growing up and still have those tendencies. And so it can be very difficult to set boundaries and say, I cannot be bothered right now, because of X, Y, and Z. And then you end up feeling, you know, I feel bad, you know, for having to tell you that. And so then you just don't do it, but then you start to have this resentment. I mean, it just feeds on itself. And so this option of a sort of a more passive way of setting up those boundaries, I think is actually quite nice. And I know that there will be people who will poo-poo this idea and say, oh, why don't you just, you know, go and say, leave me alone or something like that. But there's a tactfulness to this that I think is nice. So
it's really easy to get wrong. Like it's something that I had to work on with my girlfriend because we both worked from home previously. And it was like, it's just difficult sometimes to like not be able to have like 8 hours of extended work and you just like only think about one thing. And sometimes that, I do think like on some level the like bother, I don't know, like I like that they leaned into the fact that you're bothering someone or that they don't want to be bothered, because even though it's not always like great to say you're bothering me, I think like it almost like neutralizes that term in a nice way. I had a friend in college who always said, I can't be bothered to do that. And I thought it was incredibly rude because it was just like, I'm not even going to bother. Like, you're right. So beneath me to even consider doing that. But like, I like this context of it's like, I am botherable. Like, I want to hang out with people. I want to see this. Like, I really like Discord's status updates in a time like this, because you can just kind of see that other people are online, and that's nice when you can't physically see people at all. And I do think like a casual way to do it with friends is, that's what I like about services like House Party, is like I can just see that someone's there botherable. That's like all the House Party pretty much is. So I thought it's cool, and I want to see people use it, and I want this guy to make money so that he can continue to develop it, because it's a cool idea. He's like an indie developer too, who's like, I have no idea if this idea is any good. And it's like, no, this is awesome. Like, we all should be using this. It's especially like families and like if you have roommates and stuff like that, I can see it being very useful.
Yes, indeed. Well, folks, if you have questions, thoughts, concerns, etc., and you'd like to get those to us, you just send those to stt@twit.tv. Of course, don't forget to subscribe to the show. That really helps us out, and we appreciate that. You just go to twit.tv/stt, and you can subscribe to the show in audio and video formats in all sorts of ways. There's Apple Podcasts, there's Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, whatever podcast service or RSS reader you want to use, it's there for you. And of course, if you're on YouTube and want to watch us there, well, you just head to YouTube and don't forget to click that subscribe and ring that bell and bop the snout and all the other things that you have to do on YouTube these days. But those are the things, right, Matthew?
Yes, nailed it.
we record this show live every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern, which is 4 p.m. Pacific, which is 2300 UTC. So you can tune in live if you would like to hang out with us. And how do people follow you and the awesome work that you're doing and check out your streams and stuff online?
Yeah. This week I am doing MatthewCasinelli.com is where you should go first, because I'm slowly revamping that and getting a lot more shortcuts on there. I'm going to be streaming on Wednesday and all of these are going to be based off of Twitch, but I'll do them to different platforms sometimes. So Twitch is the best way, twitch.tv/MatthewCasinelli. But Wednesday, Timery with Joe H. I can't say his last name. And then on Thursday at 1 p.m., I'm streaming with Jason Snell and talking about the Chardy shortcut that he made. And then on Friday at 4, I think, I'll be tweeting this, so check there too. But that's when I'm doing lunch cuts with Adam Tao. So lots of fun shortcut stuff this week, which will be cool.
Yeah. And then soon, I'm going to come on the show and I'm just going to ask you, okay, how do I do this? And then get really excited whenever you show me some other thing. And then I'm like, oh, but what's that on your desktop? Oh, can I?
Just a full stream of consciousness. Like, let's do it. I'm down.
It's how I live. And it's, yeah, I think it'd be fun. Of course, we thank you so much for tuning in, whether it's in audio or video format. We do appreciate you folks out there. And thank you for taking the time to tune in and subscribe and all that jazz. Until next time, it's time to say goodnight to your smart assistants. Good night, everyone.
Hey, Siri, good night.